Hello guys, sorry for the delay on putting my message out there for Sunday. My wife, we celebrated our 16 year anniversary, and we got away and just enjoyed each other's company, and that was so. Bless the thing to be with somebody that long, and there may be some of you guys out there been longer with your spouse. I won't tell you, in this day and age, that's getting rare every day. So I thank God for my wife, and I thank God for giving me a woman that can keep me in line and showing me love all the time when doing that. I thank God every day. Now, the title of this message is Storm of Life. You know, we go through storms in life. And I was just, you know, sitting there pondering, thinking of this, and Mark 4, 36 through 41 kind of came in my mind, and what I'd like to do is read that today and preach on that today. So if you have your Bibles, or you don't, just listen, you know, and it's Mark 4, 36 through 41. And when they have sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there also with him in the other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awakened him, saying to him, Master, cared thou not that we perish? He rose. He rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said to one another, What manner of man is this? Even the wind and the sea obey him. As you guys bow with me, Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come today, just at the throne room, Lord, just be next to you, Lord, to be able to talk about your word, Lord. To just know that you are within the storm, Lord, and that if we are your children, you will protect us. Lord, I pray whoever is out there, wherever they're going through, Lord, I pray let this message provide hope for them, strength for them. If they're not yours, Lord, I pray, Lord, that they accept you today, that they come to you, Lord, and they say, Here I am, Lord. Here I am. I don't know what I'm doing, but here I am, Lord. I pray, Lord, the ones that already are your children, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you guide and you direct us in your path, Lord, that we become the disciples, that we turn this world upside down, that we yell to the top of our lungs when we see stuff that is immoral. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Man, just, you know, picture this. The disciples, they're in the ship, which is about as long as a delivery truck. It's about as wide as your typical bass boat. It's not very big. It's not a very big vessel, boat. Man, here comes the storm. And the Bible tells us a great storm with powerful winds and waves beating the side, and water is just coming into that boat, you know. And yeah, I can imagine the disciples over there trying to, you know, they're trying to go there and they're trying to, they may have a bucket and they might be trying to get it out of the water, you know, and it just keeps filling up. You know, I don't know if you guys can relate, if you've ever been fishing, boating, canoeing, and the wind starts picking up, you know, and your boat start rocking back and forth, and you're like, well, you know, if you're fishing, like, I need to head home, but, you know, I think I can make it a little bit longer, you know. The fish are really biting, you know, and then the wave starts picking up a little bit more, and you see them dark clouds in the background, they're coming, and you're like, okay, wait a minute, I got a bite, almost got a bite, and man, and then, you wait a little bit too long, and the rain starts dropping, the wind's already about to flip you over, and now you're trying to paddle your way out of there, you know, or boating your way out of there, and the storm's there, and it can be frightening. As a child, I grew up in the South, and I still am in the South, and I've been in storms in a boat, and I tell you, it can get very frightful, especially when you have alligators in the water, and they're just kind of just looking at you. You know, these disciples, most of them were used to storms to a degree because some were fishermen. They understood the physical storms and what this type of storms are capable of. And they were afraid. And, you know, they're in their fearfulness. They're running around. There's Jesus just sleeping on a pillow. You know, and this, they were confused. Maybe they were feeling abandoned. Maybe they were feeling hopeless. I want to tell you, within these physical storms, there we can experience also spiritual storms. But here I want to tell you, as a child of God, we are not alone when we're going through these storms in life. It could be grief. That's loss of a loved one. It could be depression, anxiety. It could be thoughts of suicide, addiction, feelings of doubt, broken marriage, unplanned pregnancy, or physical or mental illness. Whatever you're going through today, God will not abandon His children. He will not create the spirit of fear in His children, and He will not leave His children hopeless. Since we are God's children, and we will go through storms in life, we need to realize that Jesus will not abandon us. When we look at the account in Mark, he tells us that storm was a great storm. It had great winds and waves, and they were so aggressive, the ship was getting overtaken by the water, and the disciples were freaking out. And they have been brainstorming how to escape. Some may have even had little buckets trying to scoop the water out. They're trying to do this all by themselves while Jesus is right there in the boat. Can you imagine? You know, Paul puts it this way in Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation be without covetousness. And be content with such things as ye have. For he have, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. What a beautiful promise there. He will not leave his children when the waves are coming about. There was a child in a third world country who was abandoned on a train station with no food, water, or shelter. She had to manage for years on the street for food, water, shelter. When telling her story, she tells of how she would get very good at catching field mice. during the winter time, some people would leave the door of their home open so she could come in and warm up. In this specific area, letting children with no parents, was looked down on. As she got older, she got caught up with the wrong crowd. She experienced a lot of trauma, led her to a point of death. So it happened, a world vision person was at the right place at the right time to rescue her. Later, she was adopted and fully gave her heart to Jesus. Now she's a strong advocate in for third world countries, for orphans in third world countries. Her name is Stephanie Bass. That's S-T-E-P-H-A-N-I-E space Fast. You can Google her. She and read her full story. As I read her story, it just hit me, you know. To be abandoned like that with no parents around. I want to tell you today, if you are a child of God, He will not abandon you. It may feel that way, but He never will. Through all the pain, suffering, grief that can be overbearing, it can take our breath away. But we can take comfort in knowing that Jesus is right there with us. He will, as Paul said, He will not leave us, nor will He forsake us. He is right there. All we have to do is just ask in prayer, and He will comfort and help you in your time of need. Since God's children are going through storms in life, we need to realize Jesus will not give us to a spirit of fear. We see that disciples experience an overwhelming feeling by the wind, the rain, the waves pushing on the boat. And they're looking all around, and they see Jesus there taking a nap. And they're full of fear. Verses 37, 38 in Mark says, "There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And He was in the hinder part, that is the back of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they woke Him and said unto Him, Master, cure thou that we perish." Could you imagine? There's Jesus taking a nap with his pillow, and here's disciples freaking out. And He wakes up and He looks at them, and He looks at the storm outside and inside them. Second Timothy 1:7 tells us, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." We need to realize that God does not give us a spirit of fear, because the spirit of fear destroys our peace. It misdirects our eyes away from Jesus, as disciples were in the boat. 1 John 4:18 tells us there is no fear in love, but perfect love. I'm saying perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that fear is not made in perfect love. Because of this love, we can take the matters out of our own hands. And we have to give it to Jesus, because He will create a peace within the midst of the storm. The spirit of fear I've struggled with, and you know, and still do to degrees. And I think we all kind of do As I was working on this sermon, just, you know, letting the Holy Spirit guide my mind and my hands across, you know, just putting the words on the page, because I ain't capable of writing anything that's beautiful. It's only the Holy Spirit that resides in me. And, you know, I work for a maintenance company, and, you know, I'm driving a car that's, you know, it's not very, very good car, it's getting me, thank the Lord, it's getting me from point A to point B, but I need something a little bit newer, a little bit more reliable, and I know God will provide that. But there's points, you know, I can doubt, I can fear that if I lose my car, if my car breaks down, then I lose my job. And I mean, it's like a domino effect. And I think we all can kind of relate to that. If we just keep on going down that path, you know, I got better over the years to recognize when I start heading down that path to put an end to it by placing my eyes on Jesus. And these scriptures, 1 Timothy 1:7 and 1 John 4:18, it tells us that God loves us and that He will never create a spirit of fear. That is all the enemy. That is Satan. He wants to destroy you any way he can. And one avenue through that is the spirit of fear. The truth is, God loves you, and He has it. We just have to trust. You know, that can be pretty tough. Just placing our lives and everything in His hands. I know I struggle with that, and still struggle to a degree with that. But I want to tell you, as a child of God, we will face storms in life, and these storms will ignite a fear, a spirit of fear. It's human nature. But within our own lives, maybe something we are going through today that may create a spirit of fear. But let me tell you, brothers and sisters, when you recognize it, the storm, and you give it to Jesus, truly give it to Jesus, and say, "You got it." And we place our trust, and we get on our knees, or we walk and pray. We fight that fight. God will come through for His children every time. God's children, we will go through storms in life. But we need to realize Jesus will never leave you hopeless. We may feel hopeless, and that's us. And that's the Satan trying to pull you down to make you feel hopeless. You got disciples, they're having all these emotions. We already talked about they're feeling abandoned. They're full of fear. And now you could just imagine they're hopeless because they're running around trying to do everything. In the last few scriptures of Mark tells us, and he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they woke him, said to him, "Master, cure that perish." He rose and rebuked the wind, said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased. It stopped. And there was a great calm. There was peace, right? And he said to him, "Why are you so fearful? How is that ye have no faith?" Jesus tells him, "Why do you have no faith? Here I am. I'm right here." Hebrews 11. 1 tells us faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And you go back in Hebrews 6, Paul tells us Jesus is our hope. He is our anchor. of our soul. He's the anchor when that boat's going back and forth. You see, they lost their hope. It was laying right there in the boat with them. He is the anchor within the storm. And when you're going through these storms, you got to cling to Jesus. You have to put your faith and trust into Him. I was reading an article on the internet about a town in Flagstaff. I believe it's Flagstaff, Arizona. And the town Flagstaff, they were needing some work done on their dam, and they needed to create a lake area for the people of the town. You know, it was a project, two project. So they had to flood the town. So because of this flooding, the town folk quit making repairs to their homes. They quit doing any type of maintenance or home improvements to the town. We can say this town lost hope. This is what happened. We have no hope in God. But as a child of God, we have hope. As disciples are there in the storm, hopeless, Jesus, our hope, the anchor of our soul, was right there. All they had to do was come to Him, ask Him for strength and comfort within the storm. From personal experience, I can relate. I'm going along my day and it's getting pretty good, and then out of nowhere something happens that just rocks my boat. At that time, I have a flooding emotions coming about me. Man, it's hard just to say, okay, I'm a child of God because I know Jesus got this. And it's hard for me to do that. Most days, I fail. But some days, I get it right. It's only through Jesus Christ, you know. You're driving your car and you get a flat tire, it blows. And you're over there and you're like, oh, I'm going to be late for work. And you're trying to do all these little things. And the devil's over there just piling it on you. You're going to be late for work. You're going to lose your job. Now you're going to lose your job. You ain't going to be able to pay your bills. And you're going to lose your home. And he keeps piling them up on you. And you cannot see straight. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, place your hope in Jesus. On those days that I do that, man, I'm filled with hope, peace, joy, and knowing there's a Father that loves me that much. He loves a person like me that's stubborn to the, and He just keeps picking me up. You know, salvation is such a beautiful thing. In this point, I just wanted to talk about salvation and about being a child of God. Salvation is simple, but we make it very complicated. It's amazing how many people who claim they are a child of God, but they cannot explain salvation. It is important for us to be able to explain salvation for ourselves and to anyone who we encounter out in the world. You know, one of the famous scriptures that most probably have memorized or paraphrased is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever should believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God sent His Son to experience one of the most horrible ways to die, crucifixion. I know one of the powerful movies that I always suggest, especially for a new believer or somebody that's struggling with this concept of salvation, is to watch The Passion, that was directed by Mel Gibson. You know, say what you want to say about Mel Gibson, but that was a pretty well done movie depicting the scourging and the crucifixion of our Lord. It really brings you to tears to see that what they did to Him, and He didn't do nothing wrong. That was all for me. That was all for us. That was for this world that hated Him, that He shed His blood so we could have everlasting life. That's just amazing. And he know he was taken off the tree, the cross, and he was placed into the tomb, and he didn't remain in that tomb. He rose the third day. And he was seen by many, including his disciples. And then, of course, after 40 days, he ascended to heaven. And we have that promise that he's coming back one day. And I believe it is sooner than we would think because of the times we're living in. Romans 10:9 tells us that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath risen from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Saying this, you have to accept this. You have to accept what happened at that cross. You got to accept what happened at that tomb. You got to accept that he will be coming back one day. You believe that. You confess it. You truly believe it. I want to tell you, when you do that, when you truly believe that, you will have what we call a regenerated heart. That will, all old things that you used to do is no more. You are a new creation in Christ. If you're still doing the old things when you have not truly accepted, I don't care what preacher tells you, if you're still your old way, you have not truly accepted Christ into your heart. You are pretending to be something that you're not. Everything that you once was is gone. You're listening to that music over there, that satanic music, that Metallica, that AC/DC. That's just one example. And you say, I'm a believer in Christ, but then you're still listening to that music. God has not fully enter your heart, or at all enter your heart. You have not been born again. You have not changed. You are still, well, I'll say you're still lost. You may have the head knowledge and chose not to, and that's a totally different thing. If you totally rejected Christ after you knowing you're supposed to be doing that, you got some serious issues, brothers and sisters out there. Today, I just want you to know that just like disciples, they were feeling abandoned, feeling fearful, feeling hopeless. While Jesus was right there waiting for them to come to him, telling him that what everything they were feeling. Because he loves them that much. He loves us that much. He wants to hear from us. And that in these storms in life, that could be the grief, the depression, the anxiety, the thoughts of suicide, the addiction, the unplanned pregnancy, the physical and mental illness, anguish that you're going through. You are not abandoned when you say, I do to Christ, truly. You will not have, I'll say you will be better equipped to deal with a spirit of fear. You will not be hopeless because Jesus is right there. When we give ourselves to Jesus and we truly let him be the Lord of our lives, we have all of these promises that he will not abandon us. Now, we can get in the way, as I discussed. We can prevent him having his way with us. I want to just say, brothers and sisters, if you're going through all these feelings, just
get on your knees and pray to Jesus and tell Him exactly how you're feeling. Tell Him you're feeling abandoned. Tell Him you're feeling hopeless. Tell Him that you have a spirit of fear and to take it away. And just fill me with your joy, your peace, your love. Be the anchor in the storm. As you guys bow with me, Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to the ending of this message, Lord, I pray, Lord, that whoever's ever out there that needs to hear it, Lord, I pray that they open their hearts to, if they have not accepted you into their hearts, I pray, Lord, that they truly accept you into their heart. And if they're just playing around, I pray, Lord, that this message just penetrates their heart and it causes them to say, I'm not going to play around no more. I am going to be a true disciple of Christ. And the ones that are just struggling with their walk, and they're just in the dumps, Lord, I pray that you just uplift them, Lord, within the storm, Lord. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen.